so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
And it's been a couple of years since I've done a series on this, but God's really been dealing with me about this, so I wanted to share it with you this morning. And I always give a disclaimer. Anytime that I'm going to preach or talk about money, I give a disclaimer, and here it is. To God be the glory, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. We are ahead of budget. Come on, somebody. Give God praise. Amen. I know some of y'all are going, what's that? What's a budget? Yeah, yeah. Come see me. We'll talk about it. Maybe you can become generous. But we're ahead of budget on as far as our income, and we're ahead of budget that we haven't spent as much as we said we were going to spend. Come on, somebody. So that's a good thing. Amen. So I always like to give that disclaimer, because anytime that a preacher begins to talk about money, people think it's for the preacher. Now listen. If you gave $100,000 today, unless you put my name on it, I'm not going to get any more. But there is a line you could put my name on there. So I'm just saying. So we're not going to take up a second offering. We don't do that kind of stuff. It's not manipulation. You know, it's not, we don't want to get something from you. We want to get something to you. And some people are living below where God's called them to live because they don't understand the principles of God's word. And I want to give that to you this morning in just the beginning of this series. And it's called Contagious Generosity. We're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to verse number 10. When you get there, say amen. If you just plan on looking on the screen and not going to find it, say go ahead. Now I'm reading, I'm going to chapter 29, verse number 10. Should be verse number 10 in the New American Standard Version. And I'm going to go ahead and begin to read. You can find me. Ha ha. So if you're looking on screen, you're not going to have it. Ha! Until Mike finds it. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, here's what David said. Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father. Forever and ever, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion. I want you to underline, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Did you catch that? You exalt yourself over head over all. Can I tell you that God is not an egomaniac? However, he is okay with being God. He ain't going to relinquish his hold on being God. And he's not going to apologize for being God. Says, you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you. Underline that. Mark, put a red line across under it. All things come from you. Just in case you wasn't there yet, all things come from you. And psychologists tell us you have to hear a thing 11 times. So all things come from you. I think I'm on number 5. All things come from you. 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 And from your hand we have given you. From your hand we have given you. And for we are sojourners before you and tenants as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand and all is yours. Hallelujah. See, today, friends, we come together and we find ourselves in the wonderful time that I got in my wife's car 2 days ago. I believe it was on November the 2nd. And she had Christmas music going. She already had XM radio on holiday traditions. And I got into her car and I said, really? Are you kidding me? Because we're at the beginning of these holidays. And it's time that we pause, we're coming up to Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks. And then, of course, immediately following that, we're going to Christmas. And so it's time that we reflect on many reasons that we have to be grateful. There's a lot of reasons why we have to be grateful. But, Pastor, I don't have. Quit looking at what you don't have. What do you have? Amen. Most of you came here this morning in your right mind. I said most. Bump your neighbor if you know the one beside you is not. Amen. But so we think outside of ourselves and we focus on the needs of others. It's a time when our hearts are open and we count our blessings, right? And it's a time when we express our thanks to those in whom we love. So it's a natural time for us to talk about the theme of generosity and giving. And I'm particularly excited to talk about the theme of generosity because I've discovered a few things over the course of my pastoring, of the course of my study. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you. And that is this, is that I've discovered that there are two ways you can mark the spiritual growth of people. How do you know that you're spiritually growing? Well, one way is, last week I'd have knocked that guy's head off, but today I just smiled. Well, that is a good way. However, there are two good ways to do it. And one is this, how are you serving? And then number two, how are you giving? How are you serving and how are you giving? And how many knows that one doesn't cancel the other out? They got to be together. How are you serving and how are you giving? If you want to know somebody's spirituality, how are you serving and how are you giving? These two areas will tell you volumes about that person's spiritual growth, about that person's vitality. And the reason is because serving and giving are not primarily about skills and talents. Well, Pastor, I don't have any skills. I don't have any talents. That's not true. You've got something. You've got something to offer to God. Why? Because He made you. And He didn't make you skillless. He didn't make you talentless. He has given you something in order to worship Him with and to give back to Him. Can you say amen? So instead, at their core, they are about the condition of the heart. You don't need to have a lot to be a serving and generous person. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to have a lot or even be a lot to be a serving and a generous person. Now, anytime I talk about giving and generosity, the first thing that has to be settled is the question of ownership. That's what we've got to decide, is who's the owner? Who's the owner of what I have and what I possess and who I am? Well, out of our text, the Bible said all things come from God. All good things come from Him, right? The Bible teaches us that. I read a few excerpts out of it that talked about generosity planks of and the economy of God. And I want to give you just a couple of them this morning. But number one is this. The very first one is that you've got to settle. Point number one, God possesses and presides over all the wealth in the world and the next. And the next. You know, how many have ever heard of people go, well, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and the potatoes in those hills? You know, and how many of us have said, I'm having trouble getting one of them cows in my freezer? Right? Yeah, most of us have said that. But that's what you've got to settle. The truth is absolutely foundational. That if you don't get this concept in your mind that God possesses and presides over all, if you just end it right there, you've got to get that in your mind. When I said I belong to Jesus, I didn't say that I belong to Jesus in the good times and only when God is blessing me and when only God is doing what I want Him to do. I belong to Jesus all the time. I mean, every every married person's in here, you understand this. I am not Sherry's husband when she's acting right. I'm not just Sherry's husband when I want to be, when she's making me a meal. I'm Sherry's husband when she is not acting right. I'm Sherry's husband when she's going like this on the front row about me. I'm Sherry's husband when she's acting all crazy. I'm Sherry's husband in the good times and the bad times. I take the good with the bad. It helps me enjoy the good when there is bad. And I belong to God when I have, when I don't have. I belong to God when I'm sick and when I'm well. I belong to God in every aspect of my life. It's not that I'm God's own Sunday. No, baby. I'm God's own Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm not God's when I'm dressed in a suit. I'm God's because He is in my heart and He is my God. Hallelujah. See, this truth is simple, but it's foundational. And I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, but in this day and era of our time, I have to talk about it because people forget that your very breath comes from God. At the same time, the simple truth has the ability to completely revolutionize your life. If you ever get a handle on it, look at your neighbor and say, I got to get a handle on it. This simple idea will change the completely outlook of your whole life. Not only in the way that you handle resources that come into your hand, but also the way that you live your life. Because you realize God is wherever you are. Would God be pleased? Don't you hate it when people ask you that? Would God be pleased? Well, I don't know. Hadn't really thought about it till now. Thanks. Man, y'all are just so spiritual. But this statement isn't some kind of marketing gimmick. It isn't a slogan. It isn't just something which we give intellectual affirmation. But this is something that has the potential to become a spirit revelation. That if you ever get this revelation in your spirit, it will change the way that you live your life completely. The foundation key to understanding everything. Listen to me. Some people can't understand the Bible because the foundational key to understanding the Bible, especially when it says talks about wealth and resources and generosity, is this. God owns it all. God owns it all. Well, I'm not sure if I believe that because you're a moron. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. God owns it all. Well, you know, Pastor, I did. No. God gave you the ability. Listen to me. We have developed a number of ways to identify ownership in this world, haven't we? In the language, we have possessive pronouns. In the cattle business, the animals are branded that they become my cattle. In real estate, the deed is signed, notarized, and recorded and becomes my land, my house. In marriage, a ceremony is observed, a document is signed, witnessed, and recorded, and the lovely lady becomes my wife. I spend time in the doctor's office, and we talk about my health. I spend time at the counselor talking and talk about my mental health. Because I own a Harley. And you'll never see a Harley parked outside a therapist's office. I got my bikers over here, Steve. They ready now. That's right. What's our therapy? That's our therapy right there, baby. That's right. Get on open road and get your motor running. Get out on the highway. Looking for adventure. That's us, baby. Alright, so. But you go to a therapist, and I'm not against that. I'm for good Christian counseling. However, we go there and we talk about what? My feelings. I spend time in the, okay, let me rephrase that. I don't spend time in the gym, but you spend time in the gym talking about my body. I spend time at Dunkin' Donuts talking about my body. I spend time at Krispy Kreme talking about my body. Yes, sir. When I celebrate the day of my birth, it's my party and I cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. It's my party. Children learn it very early that they can, that you can hear them arguing, going, that's mine. They say, you can't play with it. It's my toy. And if you don't give me my ball, I'm going home with my ball. We claim ownership of land, money, possessions, pets, people, even intangible things like feelings, emotions, thoughts, and health. But somehow, all of our contracts and all of our notarized documents and all of our possessive pronouns never seem to line up with the truth of God's word. Because it's really His. It's really His. The Bible is very clear. He puts it, everything in proper perspective. When he says in Psalms 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and the world and those who dwell in it are His. See, the starting point of living the generous life starts with understanding God owns it all, but God possesses all. God possesses all. God is the owner of the universe. He created it from nothing. Don't you love that when people come up and want to take your stuff that you worked hard for? Come on now. You know, and they think that you owe it to them because they are a loser and you're not. And because the fact that they don't like working and that, you know, how many in this building just likes working? Don't raise your hand. It's a quick trick question. Oh, I love my job. Oh yeah, let them quit paying you. See if you still do it. You might still do it, but not as vigorously as you do right now. Right? Amen. So we understand that people come and they want to take the stuff that belongs to us. But the reality is, you know, God stepped into an empty void and created something out of nothing. And everybody likes your something now that it is something, but nobody was there when it was nothing. And everybody talks about, I can do what you do, but can you do what they did? Everybody can run a business now that you got it off the ground and you had the faith and you had the tenacity to do it. But now everybody's like, well, I can do that. Well, you didn't do that. Excuse me. Preach. I believe I will. God called into being all the elements of the universe by the word of His power. He took all the substance He had made from nothing and hung it nowhere on nothing, started it all in motion, stepped back and said, it is good. Come on, somebody. One thing that has never changed since that time is that God has never deeded any of the component parts of the universe to anybody else but Himself. The fact of His ownership is eternal and unchanging. God, thank you, Lord, but He doesn't put a mark of His ownership on the meadow and every meadow in the world is still His. Right? He doesn't place a no trespassing sign on the mountains, but yet they are still His. He doesn't ration the fresh air and breezes that blow, but they are His. He doesn't levy a tax on the vastness and the vast reaches of space, but they are His. He doesn't draw royalties on the beautiful songs of the birds, but every bird and every song still belongs to Him. He doesn't send out a monthly rent notice, but He is But we are camping on His property. We're breathing His air. We're spending His time. All of it belongs to Him. If you really understood this, if you began to live in this revelation, it will change your life. In this passage we read at the beginning, King David understood the truth so well. Here's what he said. He stood before the congregation of the people of Israel after they had given such generous offerings for the building of the temple that it would be equivalent to billions of dollars, one writer said. And as the people rejoiced, he began to give thanks, and he prayed in verse 11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." Oh, I know. I know what some of you are thinking. Wait a minute, Pastor. It's my money. It's my job. I worked hard for my paycheck. Or I schemed somebody out of a week's pay. It's my money. Come on, somebody. I earned every cent from the sweat of my brow. Listen, here's what my daddy used to say, and I've used it so many times because it is so true. He said, "I never had to back up." You know, some of y'all want to understand this because y'all ain't old enough, but years ago, you would have to go to the pay window to get your pay. And my daddy would say, "I've never had to back up to the pay window because I was embarrassed about the labor that I put in." Come on, somebody. I try to make that my effort. I don't have to go. When I get my check, I'm not embarrassed because I put in the time. I put in the work. Come on, somebody. And you ought to do the same thing in your own life. But you may say, "I've earned every cent by the sweat of my brow and the strength of my arm and the long hours I spent developing the skills that I have in the job. I'm all that, a bag of chips and some government cheese." But that's not what God said. Have you forgotten Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 17, or chapter 8, verse 17 says, "You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made this wealth." But verse 18 says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you the power to gain wealth." Well, Pastor, I'm not wealth. All right. He's giving you the power to make money. He's giving you the power to get a job. He's given you power to do what you've done. David recognized that even though it was the people who had placed the funds in the offering for him to build the temple, I understand this, it still all belonged to God in the first place. So they were just giving to God what already belonged to him. That's what Psalms 50:10 says. "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle of the thousand hills. I know that every bird on the mountain and everything that moves of the field is mine." That's what he's talking about in Haggai chapter 2 verse 6 when he says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in the little while I am going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. And I will make all the nations and they will come to, with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill the house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord host of, the Lord of hosts." See, according to God's word, ownership doesn't just apply to material, tangible objects. You say, "I'll do what I want with my body." Oh, no. Oh, contraire, you with a little hair. No, no, no. Because here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Wait a minute, my body's not my own? You're getting it. That's why this body ought to do what the owner wants it to do, which is bring him glory, bring him praise, and serve and give God praise. Right? "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." You need to be careful how you treat your physical body. I'm about to start meddling now. What you put in it, where you take it, what you do with it. Because your body is really not your body. It's His. There was an old girl that the Lord came to her one day and said, "I'm going to give you 15 more years." Man, she went out and she got everything tucked, pulled, and propped. Anything she could do, stretched. I mean, she got a full, complete makeover. Spent thousands of dollars doing a makeover. Stepped outside and a bus hit her. She got to heaven. She said, "Lord, I thought you said I had 15 more years." He goes, "I didn't recognize you." That's a joke for those of you who don't understand humor. Pastor, who are you to try and tell me how to live my life? It's your life. Well, that's why Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine." That's the meaning of Romans chapter 4, verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I don't care whether we live or die. We still belong to God. Our bodies do. It is God who put breath in your body. It is God that causes the warm blood to flow through your body and flow through your veins. It is God that gives you the ability to think and to reason. It is God who directs your paths and orders your steps. It is God who opens doors that no man can open and shuts doors that no man can shut. It is God. It is God. You can live your life any way you want to because it's not yours. You can't do that. You got to live it the way God wants you to live it. And if you live it the way God wants you to live it, the Bible says you will walk and not faint. You shall run and not grow weary. You will be what God's called you to be. And if you do that, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hey! Glory to God. God possesses all. Your life doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. Not only does he possess it all, point number two, but he presides over all. That is to say that he is the both owner and ruler. See, that's what our text means in verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and strengthen everyone. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That simply means he controls it. All power. See, most people act like as if there's an ongoing struggle between good and evil with God. No, baby. It's not a struggle between good and evil, just and unjust. It's as if there's a giant cosmic scoreboard where God comes and he wins sometimes, and sometimes Satan wins. No, the object seems to get one last score before, well, you know, what we're trying to do is get one last score before the final whistle blows. No, that's not how it is at all. When you read your Bible, you discover that the outcome is already decided. Jesus said, I win, I win, I win, I win. God says, my son wins, I win. The devil is no match for me. I win, I win, I win. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on the winning side. Hallelujah. Glory. It's not a contest. The game is fixed. Write it down in big headlines. God wins. Verse 11 says, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself head over all. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, he has disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. Woo! 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. And John 16:33 says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Go ahead and write it down, baby. Jesus wins. The cry rang out from the cross, it is finished. And in that moment, the power and the hold of Satan was broken. If you really understood that, it'll change your life forever. If you really understand this, you accomplish what was accomplished at the cross, you would never go back to your old way of life. If you understood this, you'd stop running from your devils. And you know how surprised the devil would be if you just turned around and go, But the problem is most of us ain't got enough power if it was fuel to get an ant around a golf course. Most of us ain't got no power to do that. But baby, if you know who you are, just turn around and say, oh, no, devil. I'm not going anywhere. I knows who I am and who I belong to. I belong to Jesus, and I'm not running from you anymore. It doesn't matter how it appears to the untrained eye. Satan may roar like an angry lion. He may sneak around like a snake. He may hurt or hurl fiery darts against the redeemed of the Lord. But make no mistake about it. He is already doomed. He is a foe, but he is a defeated foe, because Jesus made sure of that when he died on the cross for me and then rose again on the third day. I am the victor. Jesus Christ came out of the grave with resurrection power. He brought with him keys of death, hell, and the grave. He set liberty those who were held captive, and he has given church, he has given gifts unto men. He has once and for all destroyed darkness. He has ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He now sits enthroned on the king of the as the king of the universe. Jesus is the champion. Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the ruler. Jesus is Lord. The evidence is overwhelming. that is my Father's, that this is my Father's world and He owns it. The events of this world have not taken Him by surprise. Did you hear me? Well, I don't understand. I don't understand everything either. But the things that have happened in your life seem to come out of nowhere. But you have been caught off guard, but God did not. He was not taken off guard. He holds the reins of authority. He's putting all the pieces together according to His master design. God possesses all and He presides over all. Point number three is this. Then there is that phrase, all the wealth, that refers to everything, every commodity, everywhere. It belongs to Him. Well, I'm going to make my own life. Well, use somebody else's body because your body belongs to Him. Well, no, I got smarts. No, it belongs to God. Well, I'll just, it's like the scientist. Well, I'll create somebody. I'll create another human out of the dirt. And God says, well, where are you going to get the dirt? Because all the dirt belongs to me. Come on, somebody. See, we give things a measure of value that is based upon supply and demand. Diamonds are expensive. Oil is fluctuating. Real estate seems to rise and fall depending on where you try to buy it. Air is free, but though it's becoming increasingly polluted. Time is of great value. Love is priceless. Lump it all together, the seen, the unseen, the tangible, the intangible, dollars, euros, yen, rubies, pounds, whatever it might be, power, joy, love, peace of heart, everything is His. David prayed in verse 14, all things come from You. He is the greatness, the glory, and the majesty, and the power, and the victory. He owns it all. He rules over it all. Point number four is this. Finally, the phrase, in this world and the next. It denotes the universality of time, space, and dimension. He owns and is over everything in time, space, and even the other dimension. What do you mean by that, Pastor? When David prayed in verse 11 about everything that is in the heavens and the earth, it meant not only everything in the now everywhere, but everything for all time. He owns it all. You see, here's the deal. God presides over two realms. Time and eternity, seen and unseen. He is God and presides over it all. Time. He knows how to step into your past with one foot in your future and everything in between. It belongs to God. He knows how to speak a word today that'll go back and heal something that happened to you 20 years ago. Good God. He knows how to speak it, baby. He knows how to give you a word now that'll propel you for the next 10 years, that no matter what comes your way, you're going to be all right because you got a word in your heart from God. There are resources in this world that have never been discovered. They're still discovering stuff. In this world, there are places in the ocean that have yet to be discovered. It all belongs to God. They have never been explored, but it belongs to God. When you think of all this has been created in this world, you realize we cannot fully comprehend the wealth of this world. But that's just this world. There is a whole world of commodities that money can't buy. Whew. Oh, hang on a minute. Just let me have myself a little Holy Ghost time for a moment. There is a whole other world of commodities that money can't buy. You can't put a price tag on love. Ah, my Lord Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, I've heard it said, the Bible didn't say, but I heard people say so many times that love is blind. Love is not blind, it just disregards what it sees. And I, for one, am so thankful because my wife loves me, but she just disregards what she sees and loves me anyway. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ought to be thanking Jesus right now. That's right. Hallelujah. You can announce the true value of self-esteem. You can't put a value on it. You can't present an accurate estimate of respect. You ever notice, boy, this world, they throw around respect. You're disrespecting me. You don't even know what respect is. Shut up. Catch me outside. How about that? You don't know nothing about no respect. I don't know none. You can't prepare a financial statement on joy. Let me ask you this. This happened several times to me. People will be around me and they'll go, I'll have whatever he's having. And I'll say, oh, come on. I got something for you. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, somebody. You can't auction off peace of mind. How much would you pay for peace? We know how much you pay for Xanax. How much you pay for peace of mind? Come on, somebody. There are some of the riches of another world, another dimension, that belongs to God. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Think about it. My Father, your Father, possesses and presides over all wealth, this world and the next. The one truth has the potential to change your life. Because when you really understand that truth, when you really understand that, then it suddenly begins to make a difference how you live. Because it's God's. You know, how many drives a car that you rented different from a car you borrowed? You rent a car, drive it like you stole it. I see what it's taking to do. But you borrow somebody's car, oh, I don't want to break nothing. Because if I break it, they're going to want me to pay for it. When you understand that this world is God's, and all that you are is God's, you live differently. You just might treat your children differently when you remember that they are not really your children. I know sometimes y'all want to say that. They ain't really mine. No, they are. They came through your loins. Or you adopted, whatever the case, they're yours. They're God's, really. You might treat your body differently when you remember that it's not really your body you're feeding and exercising or abusing, in my case, but it's God's. You might be more willing to open your home to others in an act of hospitality when you remember it's not your home, but it's God's home. You might be a little bit more careful about how you spend your money when you remember that it's not really your money, it's God's money. You start asking questions like, is this what God would do? Is this how God would treat this person? You know, the proverbial, when was that? Back in the 90s, what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? People used to wear that all the time, act like the devil. Same people have a honk if you love Jesus, and then run everybody off the road. They have a little fish on the back of their car and drive like the devil and cuss and act up and shoot people, birds. Please take it off your car. Well, Pastor, I notice you ain't got nothing on your car. Exactly. Is this the thing that God would buy? I'm not trying to put you in bondage, man. I'm trying to set you free. Is this the place God would go? Is this the way that God would behave? I get this a lot. Pastor, act your age. I've never been this age before. So I don't know how to act. Well, then act like somebody that's your age. They act too old. Surely that's not how you act when you're... Is this the place God would want something he owns to be found? And I won't say that one more time. Is this the place that something that God owns would want to be found? You ever been somewhere when you're like, man, I hope nobody saw me? God did. God did. The idea of ownership is the place we have to start. If we're going to grow as a disciple of Jesus, and if we're going to live a generous life. How many wants everybody around you to live a generous life? Come Christmas, I want everybody around me to live a generous life. My birthday is on the 21st. I want everybody around me to live a generous life. 23rd. Now I'm kidding, but you understand what I'm talking about. We want everybody to be generous, but are we being generous? Pastor, are you talking about money? Yes and no. No and yes. Because it's more than that, man. It's more than that. Last count, I don't know where we're at. We run about 700 people on an average Sunday. And we have 242 people, the last count, that serve somewhere on campus every month. At least an hour, hour and a half. They serve somewhere on month. And some people are like, man, that's great. No, that's over 50%. That's not even 50%. So it's horrible. And if we're growing, if you're growing as a Christian, then where are you serving? And what are you giving? What do you mean, what am I getting? Start there at the 10%. Start where you are. Well, I ain't giving nothing. Start somewhere. Because listen, here's what I know. Real generosity doesn't start with your stuff. Real generosity begins with you. Contagious generosity. Ownership. It begins with the recognition that not only does the stuff that is in my hand belong to God, but so does the hand in which it has been placed. Not only does He own the universe, but He also designed and created you. And you belong to Him as well. I mean, I really wish God didn't ask me. But I wish He would have took a little bit from here and put it here. You mean what I'm talking about? That's like the one guy that died said, God, why couldn't you give me a better body? He said, what'd you do with the body I gave you? That ain't the one I gave you. That's what has had really happened. See, can I tell you where this is coming from? You know, we celebrated, man, 25 years of being your pastor. And thank you so much. I love you. And thank you. To date, don't start, but to date, I have yet to get a gift certificate for a U-Haul trailer. So I would leave. So I'm thankful for that. Now, you don't have to clap. But I just, where this really comes from is I'm burdened for people who claim to be Christians and God and Christ's followers, but you're living as if the only thing that matters is you and your happiness. You're living as if the only thing that is important is what you want to do. Not anybody here. This will probably be the 11 o'clock service. But you're ignoring clear commands from God, man. Clear commands of Scripture in favor of what is more convenient or more pleasant or more in keeping with your personal preferences. You're living as if only the thing that matters is how you feel about your life situation at the moment, and you're completely ignoring eternity. Where you are is not the end of everything. It's just simply where you are. There's a life. There's an eternity. Are you living as if God is holding you accountable for the way that you live your life? Or are you living in a way that you just ignore God? You're not antagonistic toward God. You just you believe in Him, but you're living as if He really doesn't matter. Or He really doesn't care. Or He really isn't really as involved as you're trying to make Him, God, Pastor. You're living as if somehow you can separate your eternal destiny from the way that you live in your present situation. The ownership of God isn't just about the universe. It's about you, man, and everything that concerns you. And the place for that to begin is that you surrendering your life to God. Not do better. Everybody gets a case of do better. I don't want you to get a case of do better. I want you just to surrender to Him, man. When you surrender to Him. Now, oh, that's right, Pastor. You talk to these sinners. No, I'm talking to you saints. Who made a decision to serve Christ, but have yet to follow up on the serving Christ part. Who said yes to His blood, but no to His towel. That said yes to His blood, but no to Him directing your path. Because you still do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and disregard scriptures as an old book. I pray that there may be people here today listening for the first time and you've never asked God to come in. I pray that you do that here in just a moment. But I also believe that there are others who have prayed that kind of prayer of asking God to come into their life, but yet you become lax and passive, and you worry, and you just deal about you and your family and not what God wants you to be a part of. Can I tell you that part of the joy in my life is me not only serving God, but seeing what God is doing in my family and my friends, the people that I acquaint with. What you've missed in the process is the promise of Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Does the Bible really say that? Yes, it does. That He gives, He don't want to hold anything back from you. Those of you who have children, have you ever looked at your child and go, man, you just have no idea if you would just do what I've asked. How much pleasure and stuff I would just throw on you. But I can't give it to you because you're a heathen right now. I can't give it because you're throwing a fit. I can't give it to you because you're acting crazy. I can't give it to you because you backtalk me. That's called parenting for those of you who are not familiar with that. I'm just trying to help somebody. Please don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times to be offended. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm telling you without reservation that you can trust God. If you'll surrender to Him, if you'll fully trust Him, no good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Today I'm going to do a little different. Well, not really. I just thought about it. I'm really not. But I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to make an open show. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never asked Him to come into your life, you've never prayed that prayer, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Him to come into my life. I want Him to come into my life. I want to surrender my life to Him. Anybody in this room, just slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I see that hand. God bless you, honey. I want to pray with you. But maybe there are others here who are going, Pastor, I've asked God to come into my life, but man, I really haven't surrendered to His way or His will. And today I just want to make a rededication to Him. Would you slip up your hand? There's hands all over this building. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you stand to your feet, everybody here? And I want the Spirit Life team to come. And I want to pray a prayer with that one that raised your hand, then multiples who raised their hand. And I want to pray a prayer of what in the Christianese we would call a prayer of salvation. And it's a prayer that God would come into your heart and into your life. Those of you that have asked to rededicate, come on, everybody pray with me. Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me whole. From this day forward, I ask You to be my God and I will be your servant. I will be your child. And I'll live for you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus!
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.